We will chant the first 5 verses of Bhajagovindam. Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam, Govindam, Bhajamudamahe, Samprapte sannihite kale, nahi nahi rakshati bhutrim karani. మూఢజహీ ధనాగమ తృష్ణా పురుషద్బుద్ధి మనసి వితృష్ణా యల్లభసే నిజ కర్మోపాతం విత్తం తేన వినోదయ చిత్తం నారీ స్తన భర నాభీ దేశం దృష్ట్వా మాగా మోహావేశం ఏతన్మాంసవసాదివికారం మనసి విచింతయ వారం వారం నలినీ దళగత జలమతి తరళం తత్వజీవితమతిశయ చపలం విద్ధి వ్యాధ్య విమానగ్రస్తం లోకం శోకహతం చ సమస్తం యావత్ విత్తోపార్జన సత్ తహ తావన్నిజ పరివారోరక్తః పశ్చాజీవతి జర్జర దేహే వార్తాం కోపి న పృచ్ఛతి గేహే భజ గోవిందం గోవిందం భజ మూఢమతే సంప్రాప్తే సన్నిహితే కాలే నహి నహి రక్షతి దుఃఖ Bhajagovindam is a text by Adi Shankara. Adi Shankara was born in 788 AD in Kaladi in Kerala. At the time when he was growing up, Hinduism was suffering a big jolt and Buddhism was coming up. And Adi Shankara revived the whole thing, as he was a great bhakta, jnani and karma yogi. He is a very great personality in the sense he had all the three combinations together. If you talk about a karma yogi, he would be number one karma yogi. If you talk about bhakti yogi, he would be number one bhakti yogi. If you talk about jnana yogi, he will be number one jnana yogi. So he had written commentaries on the Prasthanatriya, the Upanishads, Brahma Sutra and Bhagavad Gita, and also he has given a lot of literatures, poetries and these kinds of prakriyas. Bhajagovindam is called as prakriyas, the book of initiates. You know, so all which Adi Shankara has worked upon, he's given Lalita Sahasranama, great compositions, poetry, also prose works, his commentaries on Upanishads, and Brahma Sutra and Bhagavad Gita, establishing the Advaita philosophy at that time. Annihilated the wrong concepts of Hinduism, which was there those days. And then he re-established Hinduism in this country. So, such a great philosopher, saint, Adi Shankara, when he was walking along with his disciples, 14 disciples on the banks of Ganges in Varanasi, he saw a very old pandit trying to memorize the grammar rules. And when he saw this, he gave this Vajragovindam to his disciples. It has only 31 slokas. The first sloka, Vajragovindam, Vajragovindam, Govindam Vaja Muramade, is a chorus. And the next 12 verses are called as bouquet of 12 flowers given by Adi Shankara himself, the Guru himself. Dvadasa Manjarika Shotra, they are called as 12 bouquet of flowers. And when you talk about flowers, you can admire the flowers from a distance, or you can be like a bee, go and draw the honey out of it and enjoy. So from distance, when we hear the chanting of Vajragovindam, itself is very attractive. And when we go into the deeper meanings of Vajragovindam, like a bee, we go and draw the honey out of it, it makes us strong. And Vajragovindam is also called as Moha Mudra. Moha Mudra means uplifter of delusion. So, through these verses, Adi Shankara gives us a direction in life. A powerful words mixed with beautiful poetry and music to wake us up to the realities of life. So, first verse is a chorus. Next 12 verses given by Adi Shankara called as Dvadasha Manjarika Stotra. And then the next 14 verses are attributed to 14 of his disciples, each verse to one disciple. So that is attributed to the disciples, each one of them. Then the last 4 verses, again, the Guru blesses the students to achieve the goal. So, Vajragovindam, Moha Mudra, not only shows us the goal and the path, it also asks us to question the way we are living in life now. There is only 2 motivations that drives majority of us in life. And that is acquisition and enjoyment. Nothing else. Which in this text called as Kanchana and Kamini. They are only interested in acquisition and enjoyment, nothing else. All our struggle in this world is to acquire, swell our material wealth and exchange the material wealth to get enjoyment. That's all. Nothing more, nothing less. Intelligence, everything we want is only for that purpose. So he is asking us to relook the whole thing and analyze as to what is essential and what is non-essential. This is very, very important. We never question this. What is essential at the material level? What is essential at the emotional level, physical level, intellectual level, spiritual level also. We don't question that. We just mechanically, and the interesting thing is in material, physical, emotional, intellectual, spiritual, at all levels, we give in to non-essentials. People are less concerned with the attitude and the awareness with which a ritual is to be performed, than more concerned about whether the ritual is performed or not. They mechanically perform the ritual. Nobody really cares about the awareness, the attitude that backs the ritual. The fruit that the ritual is supposed to give in terms of mental purification. Nobody really cares about this. And mechanical adherence to rituals when it comes to religion. Religion has 2 aspects to it. One is ritual, the other one is philosophy. And the philosophical contents given in prose and poetry form has language, grammar, and the deep meaning. which is capable of transforming our inner personality, capable of moving us from the shore of mortality to the immortality. But very rarely you will find people go to that meaning, try to see how it can be followed in their life and bring about transformation. Majority is stuck in language and grammar rules. That's all. So this is what was happening to one of the old pundits in Varanasi. He was trying to memorize the grammar rules at the fag end of his life. Seeing this, Adi Shankara says, why are you stuck to the non-essentials of spirituality also? Why don't you move to the essential aspects? This, as a human being, we can consciously work upon. We don't seem to work upon it. We just mechanically get into the rituals also and mechanically get into philosophy also. Not really seeing the relevance of it in our daily living and converting our life into a spiritual lifestyle. We never have that kind of a approach. So therefore, he's asking us to question the essentials and non-essentials with reference to every aspect of our life. So, this is the background of Bhajagovinda, which is called Moha Mudgara, uplifter of Moha, delusion. What is the delusion? The delusion is that the objects of this world can provide us the happiness. The objects and beings of this world can provide us that inner happiness that we are seeking. And with this delusion, we run after the world. This is what is happening. Each one of us, from the time we wake up till the time we go to bed, we just want to add one more to our acquired list, which we believe genuinely will help us enjoy the world. So each one of us, through our pravritti and nivritti, doing and not doing, only want happiness. And we are deluded to believe it is outside. After Schopenhauer, the German philosopher, says, it is difficult to find happiness within, but it is impossible to find it elsewhere. It is difficult to find happiness within, but it is impossible to find it elsewhere. So all our life, we are deluded to believe that the external world can give us that happiness and peace that we are looking for. So we become entangled at the body level, at the mind level, at the intellect level. This is what is happening. So, he's saying, question that. This moha, this craving that we have, with which our mind is running so vehemently towards the worldly objects, we never question. He's going to talk about various aspects when he gives these verses. At the old age also, the desire is not born. In other words, we never grow up. In short, we continue to be children. And there also, there is a confusion. When we were small children, we had tremendous energy. Now we don't. As children, we had energy. You observe any child. The child has tremendous energy. And the child has the capacity to absorb. But as we have become adults, we seem to have lost that energy. Because our mind dwells into the past, worries and future anxiety. this worries and anxieties drain our energy. Whereas children have no worries of the past, anxieties of the future. And they have the tremendous udana shakti to absorb new things. We don't have that. We have lost that capacity. But when we move from childhood to adulthood, instead of playing with toys, we should look at this life as a play. But no. We are continuing to play toys. Instead, we are playing with name, fame, power, position, family, status, money. So, when we grew and became adults, we should have got that capacity to have that energy like children, not worry about the past, become anxious of the future. But we have lost that. We should have lost wanting to play with toys to make our joys. Instead, we should have grown to the level of seeing the world, the game of life, as a play. No, we become more serious. As a result, we have lost the energy. And we say we are grown-ups. This very word that we are grown-ups needs to be questioned. Are we really grown-up? John Wilmot, when he talks about parenting, he says, before marriage, I had 6 theories of parenting. After marriage, now I have 6 children, but I have no theories. That's what he says. Because when we become parents, then we begin to understand actually that we are learning from children. They are our parents. They are teaching us. That light-hearted seriousness is gone. Light-heartedness is gone. Only seriousness is there. Clinging to all these non-essential, impermanent aspects and going through stress and strain and calling ourselves grown-ups. This itself is moha. This needs to be questioned. We have lost the innocence of the child, but we have not lost that wanting to play with toys. We have just replaced the toys with something else. Children played with marbles, now we are playing with name, fame, power, position, etc. That's all. We are not really grown up. So Adi Shankara here is forewarning us. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. Bhajavandam is a beautiful text of preparation for enjoyment. See, when we say difficult, now recently the 10th standard board and 12th standard board exams results were announced. Some of the children have scored brilliantly. Some found it okay types. Some found it very difficult and failed. The same question paper to all the children. But some are able to succeed so well, some are not. What is the difference? It's the preparation. The preparation of the mind. We don't have the preparation of the mind done. Without preparing the mind, we just plunge into the world and continue running after non-essentials with delusion and suffer. Because that which is impermanent, which came in between, will be taken away from you. It won't come with you. So there is tremendous effort and stress involved in living in this world this way. So in these 31 verses, you would find all this is questioned. And when you question, what happens is, the exaggerated value placed on the world is replaced with the right value. And the right value for the world is no value. So the exaggerated value that we have placed without questioning, without understanding, without preparing, will be removed when we study Bhaja Govinda. And the moment the exaggerated value is removed, the right value is brought about, the mind running helter-skelter, crazy running stops. The moment mind's running stops, you become balanced. You're able to think better and function better. You are able to live better. You begin to live rather. So therefore, he says, this will uplift your moha. And this text was called as Moha Mudgara. This will remove the moha when you understand the Bhaja Govindam and start following it in life. Not otherwise. So, Adi Shankara, to establish this knowledge in all different formats to help people of all kinds, because the majority will be going to religion for rituals. So he established mutts and temples. And to do that, he had to travel the length and breadth of India those days. So he must have been walking only most of the time or going by bullock carts. And this shows the great Karmayogi spirit in him. And his compositions like Lalita Sahasranama, Dakshinamurti Sotra, all these things shows the bhakti aspect of it. Saundarya Lahari, and the beautiful commentaries is given on Upanishads, and then Brahma Sutra and Bhagavad Gita, etc., talks about his intellectual caliber, the Jnana Yoga. So Adi Shankara was a combination of karma, bhakti, jnana. Very rare to find a person like that. So, firstly, in life, we need to remove the moha. Whether it is with reference to wealth, whether it is reference to enjoyment, there is a completely exaggerated understanding or perception or view we have. That needs to be removed. If we continue with it, we suffer. That this text removes brilliantly. Just 31 verses only, not much. And that is enough to wake us up. And Adi Shankara doesn't talk softly here. This is very musical, no doubt, but the words are extremely stinging. See why? Because supposing your friend's house is on fire and that fellow is sleeping inside like Kumbhakarna. Will you go and try to wake him up politely? Excuse me, my friend. I would like to bring to your notice that your house is on fire. So it will be good for you if you can wake up. I hope I'm not disturbing you. Will you talk like this? If you talk like that, you need to be sent to an asylum. The house is on fire and that fellow is in deep coma. You got to kick him and wake him up. So at the age of 80 around, this old man is trying to memorize the grammar rules. What is that signifying? It is signifying that the life is extremely uncertain. Huh? We are all thinking it's very, very interesting. In Mahabharata, in a particular context, there is a yaksha that tests Yudhishthira's righteousness. And the yaksha asks, what baffles you the most? Yudhishthira says, this fact that everyone has to die one day, and yet nobody believes in their death. Isn't it? We all know that death is certain. And yet, we think, hey, yaar, I am hardly 2 years old. That means 100. And they say this coronavirus also attacks more elderly people. I'm not that old. Then when you slowly hear news, a 40-year-old died, 30-year-old died. And now the new thing that people are talking about is father Amitabh Bachchan and son Junior Bachchan both got COVID. Father has gone back home. Cured, son is still not negative. So when you hear all these things, a little bit, what is going on? Then again you forget about it. Death is not for me. I'm young. We take it for granted. We take everything for granted. We take our name for granted. Our following for granted. Our wealth for granted. Everything for granted, and then we suffer. So he is saying, you are not really understanding the realities of life. It is so uncertain. And you are sitting happily and then continuing, wanting a little more value for the shares of your company or the companies in which you have invested. That's all. In short, that is not wrong. That should not be the end all and be all of life. Because you are forgetting that as a human being, you have the capacity to realize the self, to find the truth about your true nature. But for that, you need to exercise certain effort. But the mind is so extroverted today that it happily goes into the world. Following this, forget about death and everything. When it comes, suddenly we wake up. What shall I do? What shall I do? Then we go behind astrologers, go behind scriptures. Like Kabir says, Dukh mein simran sab kare. So what Bhajan Govindan is saying is, when things are going on fine, you wake up. This nicely Swami Chidananda says in his commentary, he says, before your spouse kicks you, you kick the spouse. What it means is, there are verses coming in the Bhajan Govinda. You will see where he says, there is retinue, maryada, everything, only as long as you have the capacity to earn. The day of your retirement, slowly you will find there are nobody flocking behind you like before. This you can see in sports stars, movie stars, government authorities, politicians. When they are in power, when they are in their peak, the kind of following is amazing. What happens after that? So these are the things that you are relying upon. So it's like this. Somebody is putting a chair for you to sit. You've got to check whether it is firm enough for you to sit. Otherwise you'll fall down. Isn't it? Exactly like that. What are you relying upon? You are relying upon the material things, the emotional things and the intellectual things. Are they capable of providing you that security that you are looking for? That you never question. Before you sit, just simply check the seat. Is it firm enough for you to sit or not? Will it take your weight? Will it crumble? So, what is it that is capable of being relied upon? That's the question we need to ask. And that's what this text analyzes. And instead of relying upon that, we rely upon everything else and then suffer. And then we want the help of the astrologers, we want the help of the philosophers, we want the help of everybody else. How can anyone help you? You need to understand about life and rely on that which is going to give you that assurance. So the self alone gives you that, nothing else. Therefore he says, use your time and energy while you are in this human form to wake up and realize the self. Instead of that, you are losing it in the non-essentials of life. And the problem is, we tend to realize this when some kind of problem comes to us. And many people realize it when they become a little old. At that time what happens is the body is not cooperating. Simple thing like even ear, you can't hear properly. Everything you want to, once more, even hearing is not possible. Eyes cannot see properly. At that time it becomes difficult. Nothing wrong if you start late. Nothing wrong. But the problem is the faculties do not cooperate as it would have done when you were young. That's the reason that this scripture should be contacted when we are young, not when we are old. That's the problem. So, we out of delusion believe that I know. This is what Josh Billing says, you know. The trouble with most folks is not so much their ignorance, but their knowing so many things we change. He puts the knowing within inverted commas. I know how to handle it. I am, 18, the legal age to marry is 18. I know how to bring up my children. So, the problem, the delusion is, I know, while we actually don't know. Now, as long as we consider ourselves as knowledgeable, no knowledge can enter us. We need humility for the knowledge to enter. Macbeth was deluded by power. Mother Sita was deluded by the attractive golden deer. Mother Sita. It's the biggest problem. This tantalizing worldly objects pull us from outside. And the desires from within push us. So in this push and pull, we get deluded. Like you see the rainbow, you get deluded. There is actually no such thing as a rainbow. You are seeing it. Like a mirage. The attractions of the world draw us towards it. And we waste our energy in these things. And then suddenly we realize all these days we have been collecting worthless stuff. But suddenly one day we'll realize. And when we do that, it becomes so difficult. Therefore, he says, get back to the seeking of reality. That is, so, like I said, it is given in a beautiful music, nice poetry, but words are really straight away goes and hits your ego. Reason is, you are taking this time for granted. Already in the last 4 months, ever since we've been having this lockdown, each one of us would have got some message about somebody known to us passing away. And in that, there has been a lot of youngsters also. So life is so, so uncertain. And yet, we don't wake up. Swami Ramakrishna Paramahamsa gives a very interesting story. He says, a guy was coming through a forest to go to his village, and he heard a few wild animals, lion, etc., you know, roaring. So he climbed a tree to save himself. And there is a snake on the tree, slowly moving up to him. And he is going to the edge of the branch to escape from the snake. And the branch is not able to take his weight, it's almost about to break. And there's a river flowing. If it breaks, he'll flow into the river. He'll fall into the river. And there's a crocodile waiting for this fellow to fall into the river. And in the stress, when he's moving to the edge of the branch, there's a honeycomb. He disturbs it. And the honey bees are stinging him. And when all this is happening, few drops of honey are falling from that honeycomb and he's sticking out his tongue to lick it. He says, this is the plight of the human being. You know, every time you are celebrating your birthday, what does it mean? You are getting closer and closer to the end. That's what it means. So, the lion, the snake, all these things are there, you know. Birth, growth, disease, decay, death. All these are there. People are waiting, when will this fellow go? So that it will come to me, because the will says so. After that fellow, it comes to you. So, the mind, it's just incredible how the mind works. See, today we think, I will never ever become a cannibal. Isn't it? I don't know if I'll become a non-vegetarian. Even that I can say proudly, maybe that I will not become a non-vegetarian. But you don't know. Similarly, you think you will never become a cannibal. But when the Uruguayan soccer team, when the flight in which they were traveling crashed, I think it crashed in Iceland or somewhere. And some of the players, they died. Some of them survived. I think they got the urge to eat them. Or maybe some of them ate them to survive. You will think now, when things are going on fine, you know, I will never ever do this. But the situation to which the life may drive us to, you have no idea what we will do. This is the problem. Then, you know, so like that, you are sticking out your tongue for that little non-essential when there is so many of these things are going on. The only thing that cannot be stolen from you is the knowledge. Everything else can be stolen, isn't it? You ask yourself. See, the temples were demolished. Some of the scriptures were burned. But the knowledge which was imparted by the guru to the Sishya verbally, which the Sishya got it and he imparted it to his Sishyas, that nobody could do anything. The only thing that will come with you is knowledge, and that knowledge would metamorphose itself into confidence in you, into titiksha, endurance in you, confidence, endurance, patience, balanced. This is what is knowledge. To remain calm and composed. Now that knowledge is the essential aspect. But we get into all the non-essentials. So how are we really managing our time? We are mostly wasting it. So like the examples we discuss of Mother Sita or Macbeth, something or the other is attracting us. Whether it is name, fame, power, position, family, status, money. Something or this. And we are following this, following this, following this. Acquire, acquire, acquire. And the hope of enjoying. And we either indulge or we don't know how to contact and we don't contact. Firstly, there's no time to contact because we're so busy acquiring. So you don't really enjoy. So how to enjoy is by seeking the higher. In the Mundaka Upanishad, he says, if you want to fulfill your desires, follow the enlightened person. If you want centralization, follow the enlightened person. Both he says. Why? When you seek the higher, the lower will be added to you. This is what Jesus Christ says. Knock and it shall be opened. Seek and it shall be given. Knock and it shall be opened means knock the doors of the Lord. The world will be opened to you. Seek the Lord, the world will be opened to you. Given to you. When you work for the higher, the lower will be given to you. But we don't function like that. Even if you want the world, use the word bhuti kamaha in Mundaka Upanishad. A way to acquire and enjoy is by following a higher goal, not by merely running after the worldly objects. But hardly anyone does this. So therefore, Vajragovindam 4 warns us before the calamity strikes us. But we never listen. See the symbolism of Lord Vishnu. He has four hands. He has Shank, Chakra, Gada, Padma. Padma represents peace. The real peace is our inner self. There is no peace in the outside world. So, lotus represents Atma, the peace. And conscience is represented by the Shank. Conscience is an aspect of our subtle intellect which always points towards the self. So, that is represented by the Shank. And Gada represents the knocks and shocks of life. Chakra, destruction. So whenever we go into acquisition and enjoyment as an end all and be all of life, the conscience is pricking us. We're moving away from the self. So the conscience is pricking. And if you're not developed enough to hear the conscience, then the knocks and shocks of life is teaching us there is something wrong you're doing. That's the gada. That also we don't hear. Then the law of karma destroys us. Chakra. This is the whole thing. So when we mechanically indulge in the acquisition and enjoyment as an end all and be all of life, the conscience is constantly picking up, wasting your time in collecting all the non-essentials. Get back to the reality. See, in short, all this collection should not be at the cost of reality. Like Oliver Goldsmith says, he who steals my purse steals trash. Not because the purse is having no money, no credit card, no. And it's a very, very old purse. The purse is full of credit cards and a lot of dollars. And it is stolen. And you should be able to say, he who steals my purse steals trash. What does it mean? It means you are not relying on the purse. You were relying on the capacity to earn. But that is very rare. Very, very rare. We will be relying on our earnings, not our capacity to earn. So that's why we say your richness should not be measured in terms of what all you have. Your richness should be measured in terms of what all you can be without. If the number of things that you can be without increases, you are rich. You understand? Today what we think is, this is another delusion. We are deluded to believe that we are rich when the number of things we have increases. This is the delusion. But real richness is when the number of things that you can be without goes on increasing. Socrates goes to a shopping mall during his days, and when he comes out, he says, I'm amazed at all the things that men can be without. Amazed at all the things that men can be without. And we are collecting all the things which really are not worthy. So while we have not fallen ill, while we are young, while we can hear, see, smell, taste, touch, think, feel, we need to use the time to investigate on what is really worthy of our time and effort. So much energy is invested in collecting the non-essentials. And this is why Adi Shankara whips us with these words. You know, the potential to reach the highest, the throwing away in all these non-essentials. What are you doing? That's the context of the Bhaja Govinda. So with this background, let us get on to verse number 1. Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Govindam Bhaja Mudamate, Samprapte Sannihite Kale, Nahi Nahi Rakshati Dukrin Karani. Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Govindam Bhaja Mudamate, Samprapte Sannihite Kale, Nahi Nahi Rakshati Dukrin Karani. Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Govindam Bhaja. 3 times he says, seek Govinda. Think of Govinda. Seek Govinda. Seek Govinda. Seek Govinda. 3 times. O Mudamate. O foolish mind. Now you will say, what is this here? Adi Shankara is calling us fools. At the destined time, samprapte sannihite kale, nahi nahi rakshati dukrin karani. Nahi nahi rakshati dukrin karani. This fellow, as I told you, the old man is trying to memorize the grammar rules. So he's saying here, this effort of acquiring the non-essentials will not save you at the appointed time. When the appointed time comes, this Dukrin Karane, which is the Dhatu part of Panini's grammar, you know, Dhatu part of Panini's grammar rules, he's trying to memorize. He says that will not save you. While grammar, if you know the language, it helps in learning the scriptures, no doubt. But wasting your time in just memorizing the grammar rules, not really getting into the philosophical content which should be followed in life, which will remove all the stress and give you the joy that you are seeking. Why are you wasting your time in this grammar? So he says, when appointed time comes, means that, that's what it means. And that too for an old man, which may come very soon. So, samprapte sannihite kale nahi nahi rakshati dukrin karane. What will really give you that security? You need to analyze that. So he says that will only come from Govinda. And he says three times, because we have three different personalities: body, mind and intellect. At the body level, seek Govinda. At the mind level, seek Govinda. At the intellect level, seek Govinda. But no, we don't do that. What do we seek? At the body level, colors and forms for the eyes, smell for the nose, taste for the tongue, sound for the ears, and touch for the skin. And we don't ask these questions with all this color and form, sound, taste, touch, help me in reaching Govinda. No. We don't. So we are not really seeking Govinda through the body. Then what are you seeking? These material things, mundane stuff. Then at the mind level, we are collecting emotions, people, relationships. Will these relationships and people help us in reaching the Govinda? No, we don't ask that question. We just mechanically pursue this. Then at the intellectual level, we are seeking knowledge to quench the curiosity, not to see Govinda. So therefore, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Govindam Bhaja. Mudamati, O foolish mind, O fool. What does it mean? Why is he calling us fool? Fool meaning we have the potential. See, if the tail ender goes to bat and it gets out scoring 20 runs after playing about 200 balls, especially in test cricket, you know, you have to save the innings. So they have to play a lot of balls. He plays a lot of balls and then scores 20 runs, doesn't get out. He said, fantastic, fantastic. Because he's only a tail end. But when a player like Tendulkar, who has the capacity to score centuries, when he gets out, it's 0 or 10. You say, what a fool. So what a fool meaning, you have the potential, but you are throwing it away. So it is out of love that he is using the phrase fool. Mudamati. You are going after these pleasures that come now, but you are not understanding that they give you pain tomorrow. That's the mudamati. That's the delusion. Not only we do not invest in the self, we invest heavily in the body, mind, intellect. And the body will become old and perish. The mind will give you sorrow if you are dependent on it. Same thing at the intellectual level. So, mudamati, without proper clarity, you are seeking this non-essential. So you should learn to seek the reality, not the non-essentials. So Govinda, Go, the Sanskrit root, has four meanings. Earth, cattle, speech, and Vedas. These are the four meanings. So, when you say Govinda, one of the meaning is one who knows the earth. So, you got to seek Govinda does not mean you seek Krishna. You should only worship Krishna. You should not worship Rama. At least Rama, Krishna, you know, they are the same avatars of, different avatars of Mahavishnu. But Shiva, for sure, you should not worship. Why? Because Govinda Jesus. Should not be understood like that. The interesting thing is, Adi Shankara is a Shaivite. Yet he is using the word Govinda, which means what? Hari and Hara, both are same. We are only having these concepts in our head and fighting with each other, Shaivites and Vaishnavites. End of the day, there is only one Brahman, there is only one God. There is actually only God, nothing else. Therefore, Govinda here does not mean only Vishnu. Govinda means Go, like it has four words meanings. Earth, cattle, speech, Vedas. So, Govinda, one of the meaning is one who knows earth. One who knows earth means the substratum upon which this world is projected. One who knows the substratum. What is the substratum? Brahman. Brahma satyam jagat mitya jivo brahma iva naparaha. This Brahman alone is real. Satyam jagat mitya. This world is an illusion. Jiva, the individual. Brahma eva napara. Essentially, you are Brahman, nothing else. Not this body, mind, intellect as you think yourself to be. So therefore, Govinda means one who knows earth. One who knows earth means one who knows the substratum of this earth. See, you are carried by the earth. This physical body is carried by the earth. But the earth is carried by Brahman. We forget that. And we think we are carrying all this. What will happen to my company without me? What will happen to my family without me? We think we are carrying the whole thing. While the whole thing is being carried by Brahman. Real substratum is Brahman. This world is only Nama Rupa. The substratum, the material with which this world is made up of is Brahman. So this Nama Rupa, different names and forms, they may go away. But the substratum remains. So he knows that. Means one who is established in that substratum. One who is self-realized. Bhagavan himself. Go with that. Means seek the substratum. Not the surface. See. The option was given to both Arjuna and Duryodhana. For the war. By Sri Krishna. Because both of them went to him. For support. And he was pretending to be asleep. And Arjuna waited at Krishna's feet. Duryodhana went and stood next to Krishna's head. So when Krishna woke up, he saw Arjuna first and said, "Welcome, Arjuna." And then he saw Duryodhana. "Oh, you are also welcome. So what is it I can do for both of you?" I said, we want your support in the battlefield. He said, how can I support both? Then he gave them the option. On one side, my entire army will fight. On the other side, I will fight without weapons. Which one you want? And he said, Arjuna, you choose because you are younger and also I saw you first. He chose Krishna. Duryodhana was very happy. They got the entire army with the weapons. All the non-essential, useless stuff. He didn't know that. That way we are also Duryodhanas. Whereas Arjuna has the devotion. He said, Krishna, I want you. And because he had Krishna, he won the battle. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Pato Dhanurdharaha, Tatra Shri Vijayor Goti Dhuvoni Tirmatir Maha. The last words of Bhagavad Gita that we studied recently. So, therefore, that essential he knows, the substratum he knows. That's what Govinda means. And Govinda also means Lord of Cattle. Sri Krishna was a cowherd boy. What does that signify? He drives the cattle. The senses, cattle represents our senses. Cattle go to the sense objects, the respective pasture land. You know. So the senses go to the sense objects, to the Lord of senses. What lends sentiency to the senses to operate and function is the Lord himself. So don't be driven by the sense objects. Rather, focus your attention on that which lends sentiency to the senses. Keno Upanishad says, it is not what you see, but what makes you see that is God. Yat chakshu shana pasyati, yena chakshu gumshi pasyati. Tadeva brahmatvam vitti netam yadidam upasate. Beautifully, Keno Upanishad declares this. It is not what you see, but what makes you see. So Govinda means it is that Lord which makes you see. Turn your attention upon what makes you see, not what you see. Today the problem is our attention is upon what we see. So therefore, seek Govinda, Lord of cattle. And then, Govinda means he who confers speech. The power which makes our organs of actions function. Cattle represents the organs of perception, Jnanendriyas. Organ of speech represents all Karmendriyas. It's the style of Shastra to mention one organ to represent everything. So when they talk about organs of speech, it means it represents all the organs which act, Karmendriyas. So what is behind all the activities? It's Brahman. Without Brahman, you can't speak, you can't talk, you can't walk, you can't do anything. So it is that Brahman which confers the speech, which is behind the all living creatures to be able to function. That Brahman you got to seek through your activities. You are seeking their fruits rather than that which makes you act. Don't throw your potential, don't waste your time. Shift your attention from the mundane to the sublime. Then, as I said, Go means Vedas. So Go means one who is known through the Vedas. One who is known through the Vedas. What is to be known through the Vedas? Brahman. Knowing which, nothing remains to be known. Till you know Brahman, you can know everything else, but yet you will not be having that satisfaction. But when do you become absolutely satisfied? Kritatmanaha. When you have reached that Atma. So that Atma is what is to be known through the Vedas. So seek that. Bhaja. Bhaja Govindam. Bhaja Govindam is not chanting Govinda. 24/7 chanting Govinda, 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 Govinda like that. It is each and every cell in our personality should be reverberating with Govinda. Meaning what? You should be moving, talking, walking, everything in Govinda. Why do I need this wealth? To attain Govinda. Why do I need this relationship? To attain Govinda. Why do I need to read these books? Attend these classes? To get to Govinda. So while I come to the class, I make friends. That's good. We help each other. But never to get lost in all these things. None of this will come with you. So you've got to seek the supreme reality. That is what the Vedas declare. But unfortunately, people are lost in the rituals of the Vedas. The rituals of the Vedas are meant for purification of the self. To remove the ego. To purify the mind. For that purpose, hardly anybody gets to ritual. Everybody gets to ritual because ritual promises a certain fruit. So we are interested in the fruit, that's all. Nothing else. So Govinda means the truth, the reality, essence. Seek that. What is the essence of life? The life and living principle. We forget that and we indulge in life fully, thoroughly. Everything in this universe is in a constant flux of change. And a change cannot be noticed without a changeless entity. When you are traveling in the train, you see the poles, the train is crossing the poles, then you realize the change, the movement. Change is possible to be recognized with reference to a changeless entity. So there is a changeless substratum behind every change. But when we go through the change, we forget about the changeless substratum. So he says, shift your attention back to that changeless substratum. And that has to be 24/7. So that's why he says, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Govindam Bhaja. Mudamati. And in doing this, what are you doing? You have wasted your time and energy in collecting all the non-essentials of life. And when the appointed time comes, you regret. Samprapte sannihite kale nahi nahi rakshati dhiti. All these grammar rules and all these things is not going to save you. What is that one thing that we carry to the next Janma? The knowledge. Not the knowledge of the Bhajagovindam. You will not be able to chant it in the next Janma. What it means is the essence of it. The sattva, rajas, tamas content. That's the only thing we carry. So therefore, while we are busy doing everything else, we should deep inside be focusing ourselves and putting the effort in getting back to the self. If not, it's a total waste of time. That is what is the essence of this verse. A lot of people, they say, oh, Bhaja Govindam, I have to seek Govinda. So what am I doing? Sitting all the time in the temple. And whenever they come out, they're acting selfishly. If you are seeking Govinda, how will you be functioning? You will be throwing your body in the service of the world because you see Ishvara pervading this world. So serving the world will be Ishvara Seva for us. Nara Seva, Narayana Seva. Jana Seva, Janardana Seva. So those who seek the self will be serving the people at large, not serving themselves. You will be unselfish and selfless. when you are seeking Govinda. Otherwise, we all of us chant. This is a very well-known text, Bhaja Govinda. And it's only 31 verses. You can memorize each and every verse if you want. But there is one thing about this Bhaja Govinda, which I must tell you. Actually, I should have told that in the introduction itself. The thing is, Bhaja Govinda is surviving years. Because everybody chants this due to its musical appeal. And in this, over a period of time, there has been a lot of mix-up. The sense. Some of the words have been replaced with something else. And in some texts, you will find the first line of one verse and the second line of another verse is mixed. So all these kind of readings are there. Yet the beauty is the essence doesn't change. So you will find in some of the texts some lines are different. Some words are different. Yet the essence doesn't change. So therefore, what we need to understand is when you say Bhaja Govindam, you are seeking Govinda, what is the proof of the pudding? What kind of activities are you doing? Where is the attention while doing the action? Is it upon the fruit or upon that Lord who makes you act? And are you doing this action as an arpanam to the Lord, or are you doing this to get the result of that action? What is that? Then you will know whether you are seeking Govinda or not. So if you have been seeking Govinda, when the appointed time comes, this appointed time beautifully is presented in the Bhagavad Gita by Bhagavan Sri Krishna. He says, Antakale cha mameva smaranmukva kalevaram. At the time of death, if you think of me while giving up this body, you will no doubt come to me, he says. And he beautifully, Adi Shankara, when he gives this commentary, he talks about the cha. Antakala means time of death. And he says, antakala cha. Cha means under. Means what? It is not just antakala. Antakala time, if you have to think of Govinda, all your life you should have been thinking of Govinda. Suddenly, last minute, you can't think of Govinda. So therefore, Bhaja Govindam has to be 24-7. 24-7 doesn't mean you chant Bhaja Govindam. What it means is, you move in the spirit of Govinda. Even though you could be praying just for 10 minutes or 5 minutes in the morning, studying for half an hour or so in the morning, but throughout the day you should be moving and thinking of the Lord, nothing else. So then you will be saved at the time of death. At the same time of death, you will be saved means what? Uncertainty cannot upset you. The setup cannot upset you. That's what it means. The setup called the world cannot upset you anymore. So, therefore, he says, this appointed time when it comes will not save you. But if you say Govinda now, it will save you. If you start investing correctly, it will save you. This is the chorus. So, next 12 verses given by Adi Shankara. We will see all those verses next week. Let's conclude now.
Om Purnamadha Purnamidham Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Om Kayena Vacha.
मनसेन्द्रियैर्वा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा प्रकृते स्वभावा करोमि यद्यत् सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि। हरिओम, सी ऑल नेक्स्ट।
हरिओम।